Hey, Peter Johnston is on the line, Whitey.
Yes, I just want to, just a text that says Sam was a runner-up at the French Open and didn't win it. That is correct, but she had quite a few good results, not only at the French, but in other clay tournaments over her career. I would suggest that that was her best surface. We can ask Peter Johnston whether he thinks the clay was Sam Stosur's best surface.
Oh, well, I wonder if he'll put clay on centre court there at Kooyong for the Kooyong Classic, which is back, and get her back on the court. Pete Johnston joins us this morning. Hello, Pete.
Morning, Half. Morning, Whitey.
Great to have you with us. You're going to put some clay down on centre court there at Kooyong, get Sam back for another little one-off?
Actually, I did see when Sam played the other day, and I sent her a text saying, hey, don't forget Kooyong if you're... looking at still trying to play a little bit of singles, but it was, I think she's doing it now, isn't it, to play a bit of, you know, help her preparation for the for her doubles. But, yeah, it was nice to see her back on court.
Yeah, because we were talking about that before. I came across a story the other day and I couldn't believe what was happening. I thought it was an old story that had just resurfaced that she was playing in. I didn't quite understand what was going on, Pete.
Yeah, well, I know when she was in Miami the a couple of months ago, she thought like she may play qualies just to sort of, again, to just for fun. And, you know, what better preparation than playing a singles match, you know, a hard match before you go and play your doubles, which I think is her total focus now. But, look, it's just lovely to see her still playing and enjoying the game. And she seemed like she really enjoyed this one in Strasbourg this week.
Yeah, good on her. As we said before, she can do whatever the hell she likes and,
exactly.
And enjoy it. Now, the Kooyong Classic is going to be back in this season coming up because the last couple of years we've had challenges with COVID and all that. How big a boon is that for tennis in Australia?
Well, it's big for... I think one main thing is that it looks like the circuit will return to normal because the last couple of years has been all these sort of one-off events, if you like, that just... due to COVID and everything being based pretty much in Melbourne. So now with it going back to being what should be a regular sort of lead up with tournaments in other states, etc., it's given us a chance to get some air. Look, we've got a new sponsor, Care A2 Plus. It's a health and wellness company. They've come on board for the next 5 years for us. And the club's been all redeveloped. And so, you know, it's got a spot in the calendar and, you know, it's all lined up, so we're really happy to be back after a frustrating 2 years off.
Yeah, I think the thing to this too, Pete, is that before the pandemic, you were kind of tweaking it a little bit, and it was exciting, some of the things that you were hoping to be able to sort of bed down to make the Kooyong Classic a little bit different, more women playing. I guess from your perspective now, that's exciting that you can go back to that and start to look at the way you want to reinvent the tournament.
Yeah, Whitey, it was one of those ones over the last few years that we did it. We were doing a few new things, especially with the addition of the women, which has been fabulous. And I remember driving out the last day of the event a couple of years ago going, gee, that was pretty good. It's all going pretty well, which is the worst thing you can say to yourself. We haven't played since. But it was, I think the mix is pretty well, it's so well regarded by the players because all they're looking for is, you know, that final tune-up for the Australian Open. And if we can sort of be flexible enough in what we offer, then I think we have the best chance of getting the players. And, you know, I think the public love it down there. The grass area has really come to life with all the activities, and the stadium's terrific now. It's only 4,000 seats, which is more the right size for an event like this, and the clubhouse has some corporate offerings looking right out over the stadium. So I think people are, you know, it just fits nicely into the Melbourne landscape and in the players' mindset.
And I mentioned before about bedding down sort of a different format. The whole Australian Summer of Tennis is a bit all over the place in the sense that some of the changes that were going to be made away from things like the Hopman Cup and the New South Wales Open or whatever it's called now, there was the Brisbane International, that it was kind of changing with these World Cup type things and whatever else. We were just sort of getting our head around it, and then it didn't really happen. So it's an interesting time for tennis in this country, I reckon.
Yeah, and I still think there's more tweaking probably to be done because, you know, you've got the ATP Cup the week before Kooyong, so it's 2 weeks before the Australian Open, which is a massive event for the men, which, as you said, Whitey, it's had a couple of years that sort of had to go in different sort of cities, etc. Hasn't got the full traction yet. But I think there's also an overarching thought of if you've got a men's ATP Cup, well, why don't you have a WTA Cup or a combined? So... Mm. I feel like those things are still on the radar. So, but look, I think where we decided, look, things could still change a little bit with what the circuit makeup is, but we know that Kooyong, you know, a few days before the Australian Open begins, 10 minutes down the road from Melbourne Park, players are going to still need that. So that's why we've gone hard and, you know, we're confident in the future of Kooyong anyway.
Do you think because there's been a lack of tournament play for a lot of players, obviously across the globe, but also just in the lead up to the Australian Open the last couple of years, that it'll be a more attractive proposition for some of the big names?
Yeah, I do, because I think the problem has probably been for the players that they've had to play also the week before the Australian Open. You play a full tournament, which can be up to five matches, and sometimes they're just not looking for that. You know, not everyone's looking for that. I mean, the week before that, yes, because you've just come out of an off-season, but even the off-season has become shorter because the Cups sort of end late the year before. So, yeah, I think the week before the Australian Open, before you're going into five-set matches, especially for the guys, you know, you just want to tune up, and that's what we offer.
Now, we're starting a campaign today, Pete, and great to have you on the line to talk about it, because I think the French Open situation of having three Sundays is a great way to have a major tournament and start it on a weekend, get your middle one, and then finish it on the obviously the crescendo the following Sunday, the last Sunday. I think we should do that for the Australian Open. How do I make that happen?
Well, look, the tricky thing is, and yet look, on the in isolation, to have to capitalise on three Sundays is a masterstroke for the French. What it does do, and this is always what you've got to consider, is the other stakeholders. It's what you have to do to the events leading up to get them finishing earlier, and then it's a full backup, if you like. So one tricky thing is, let's say Auckland is on the week before the Australian Open, and that finishes on a Saturday already. You know, guys that sort of, and that's a guys' event, but the guys would then have to, so Auckland would have to finish Friday and then, you know, get to be ready for the players in case to get drawn for Sunday. These sorts of issues. I'm not saying that one should, that shouldn't, the Australian Open shouldn't necessarily trump the others on those decisions, but it does cause that sort of impact. Having said that, I do think there's a lot to be said for being able to capitalise on the weekends as best you can. And even you can even look at finals on a Monday night or something, you know, where you've got the weekend for the quarters and semis. They're the things the tour overall is looking at a little bit. But, you know, it's French Open, I think I really enjoy the three Sundays. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, most amazing. I'd never really come across the concept or thought about the timeline, but it does make a hell of a lot of sense when you just having a quick chat about it. The weekends are the key to everything, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think, Pete, I reckon we've had this chat quite a few times before, that the realities of a Grand Slam tournament is that the longer it goes, the less matches there are. So while it crescendos from the point of view of finals, there's less tennis. And I think that there's two parts to that. There's that final weekend where there is so little tennis. The idea of potentially pushing out to Monday night, Tuesday night to give that quarterfinal, you know, real prominence on that second weekend is one way of looking at it. And there's, as Huff says, you started on the Sunday. It's, I don't know. I think it's something that they should at least look at.
Yeah, it's probably a question that gets down to the whole tour. Like, because certainly, you know, so much sport, the last 2 days of the weekend days. And so when you look up, when you get a Monday morning, I mean, you guys must have it every week. You're watching the weekend results of every other sport and you've got to capture it. Whereas sometimes Monday and Tuesday, and tennis does pretty well exposure-wise in the early days of the week because it's year-round. But to have its big matches on those last days to capitalise on bigger crowds for, say, quarters and semis on weekends is certainly a bit of space that has got to be considered into the future. It's tricky, though.
Yeah. So the last question I've got for you is, and I'm sure this will be asked of you a lot in sort of coming months and Tennis Australia, it was such a massive Australian Open last summer and so much of it was to do with Ash, and then there was the Kyrgios and Kokkinakis doubles affair and whatever else, and it seemed like there was real momentum coming off the back of that massive TV ratings, and then Ash retires. Is that how much of a concern is that from a momentum push that Ash isn't going to be there?
Well, it's huge for... It's just, you can't hide from the fact of what a massive story she is and what massive impact she's had. There's big articles even in last week's weekend's newspapers. You know, she's continually news. And to be... She was the forefront of primetime coverage the whole time here. And so, look, if the challenge is to just got to create more and more stories and new stories. But the hard thing is that's such a – it's been such a major story, Bash has been, and probably I guess we'd all – I certainly in my own mind have thought it's going to be around for a few more years yet. So you've just got to work hard on you know, always at any event, maximise your assets, et cetera. But it you can't hide from it being just a massive loss for to not see her on court. I mean, you know, it was one that was sort of looking like a certainty that it was going to continue. And as I say, it's all about creating the stories, and the new ones have to be created and promoted.
And we look forward to doing that and being a part of that conversation and storytelling through the journey. And always appreciate your time, Pete, with the great news that Keyong is back in the build-up to the Australian Open next summer. Last thing before we let you go, a question we were wrestling with last week. Are tennis balls yellow or green?
I saw this one come up. Like, to me, they're green. But, you know, it's what do you guys think?
Well, I'm a yellow man. Yellow.
Yeah, we yellow man. We can't be friends anymore, Pete.
I'm happy to sway.
Well, I just want you to have a chat to your contemporaries and find out what they're thinking. Just
I'll do a straw poll.
Get a consensus for me if you don't mind. Good on you, mate. Nice to chat. Stay well, and we'll chat soon.